Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month. Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuck Bryant.
Hi.
And we have a guest producer, Matt, here today.
In the hizzy.
Yes.
Yep.
In the leather wingback director's chair.
Matt, who has gotten fan mail before.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Did you know Lions and Scissors is back together?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Don't look at him.
Well, he's right here. I didn't know that. That's great news, Matt.
Yeah.
It feels weird to talk to you without looking at you, but right. I've been instructed to do so.
That's the whole point, to just feel weird.
All right.
That's the point of life.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
You guys need to get a website together, Matt. He shakes his head yes.
Yes.
He's like, we got a MySpace page.
Right. It's so funny that that's still being financially supported enough that it's up, that you can still access MySpace.
Yeah, but have you seen some of the other stuff that's still up? Like, MySpace has got a long way to go.
Oh, really?
To fall off the radar.
Well, I'm interested to see when that happens.
Me too.
Maybe there'll be some sort of event.
Yeah.
Can you tell I'm stalling?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that means everybody else can tell too then. So we should probably start. Chuck.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the Simpsons episode, The Twisted Life of Marge, Twisted World of Marge Simpson?
Yes.
The one where she starts selling pretzels?
I think so. It's hard to keep them all, you know, straight.
It is. It is. Well, in it, Marge decides to make some extra scratch by selling pretzels, right? She's a part of an investment club.
Yeah.
And the investment club gets a little crazy, and I think she's forced out of their PETA, Fleeta PETA franchise.
Okay,
it's
I definitely PETA, did not see that.
PETA food truck, basically.
All right.
She gets forced out, so she goes off on her own and starts selling pretzels. Well, she gets in bed with the mob inadvertently. And when the mob comes a-calling, just in time, and they're storming the front door.
Is it the mob guy that's always...
Fat Tony.
Yeah, Fat Tony.
The Fleeta PETA ladies show up, and they want their cut mm-hmm. of her turf, I believe. And it turns out that they've gotten in bed with the Yakuza.
Ah.
Yes, the Japanese mafia.
Pretty cool.
And as the Yakuza and the mafia are about to battle, the door shuts, and all you can hear is some stuff, and then the door opens, and everybody's, like, laying dead. And
yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
That's a trope.
But after reading this article, how the Yakuza works,
yeah.
I would say that they probably, had they spoken before they fought, would have found that they had a tremendous amount in common.
Yeah.
And possibly wouldn't have even fought at all.
Yeah.
Maybe they would have had some wine and sake.
Or some sushi and pasta.
Yeah.
And broke bread together.
Exactly.
Or whatever the Japanese version of bread is.
Bread.
Oh, okay.
So that's the intro to how Yakuza works.
Very nice. That's a good one.
Thanks.
It is. And reading this article, you're right. I was kind of like, you know what? It's just like the American mafia.
It is. So there's like a model out there for organizing crime.
Yeah.
And somebody figured it out at some point in time. Maybe it was the Japanese. Maybe it was the Sicilians. Maybe it was all independent. But the point is, it's out there. It's established. Don't try to mess with it. It's perfect.
Yes, as far as organized crime goes, I guess you're right. The origins of the Yakuza, depending on which history you're following.
Right.
If you listen to some of the clans, and they are clans, I guess I just gave that away.
Well, clans, families, same thing.
Yeah. They might say like we have noble origins mm-hmm. and we descended from the Ronin, and we are more like your American Robin Hood, although he wasn't American. Your English Robin Hood.
Right.
We're like Kevin Costner.
Exactly.
And our lineage is like very proud and honorable. Probably a little bit of an inflated story because the other side of the coin is that they descended from the Kabuki Mono,
uh-huh.
the crazy ones.
Yeah.
And these are basically, were like masterless Ronin after the samurai.
They were just crazy kids.
Well, they were masterless samurai.
Oh, were they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they would go around doing bad things with their swords.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a what's it called again?
Goal in life?
No, the master, the...
Oh, a daimyo.
Daimyo. Okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say that. But
I can't believe I did that from memory.
I had it.
Yumi's going to be so proud.
But I doubt it myself.
Oh, you had daimyo?
I had it in my brain, but I doubted myself, which will make Emily proud.
So you've got some political upheaval. I think a time of peace is what it was. And the samurai became basically useless and lazy.
Yeah, and I guess that made them cranky because they started to do crime.
Or they just kind of went into business, which is something the samurai didn't need to do because they were the political elite for That's a very, very long time.
Yeah, very true.
They did their jobs too well. There was a lasting peace and then political upheaval, and then all of a sudden they're just kind of out on the street. So, yeah, they're either going crazy cutting the heads off of peasants for no good reason, or they're wandering around not cutting the heads off of peasants, but they're samurai and you don't want to look at them wrong.
Yes.
Or they're samurai who are selling apples on the street now, which is new to them.
Or running gambling casinos.
Right.
Gambling houses.
Yeah.
Brothels.
Yeah.
Making money from, like, ill repute.
Or legitimate ways. But the point is you have these people who are coming into the market who are coming in from the outside.
Outsiders.
Exactly.
Like C. Thomas Howell.
Right.
Or Yakuza.
Ralph Macchio.
Stay gold, Yakuza.
And that's the Yakuza still wears that today. Kind of as a badge of honor. They're outsiders in Japanese society.
Yeah, which we'll talk about the Korean Yakuza later.
Is that how we say Korean now?
Korean?
Yeah.
You're from Georgia.
You sound like Hank Azaria doing Billy Bob Thornton in Homegrown.
So the name Yakuza, I thought this was pretty interesting. It actually reinforces that outsider status because it came from a game called Oyacho Kabu.
Sounds good to me.
And it's similar to what we call Bacharach, in that the second digit of the hand is where you get your point value.
It's very numerological.
Yes, it is.
So you add up your cards.
Yeah, and the second digit is what counts, like in Bacharach.
Right, so if you have three sixes or something like that, you'd have 18, and your hand would be worth 8, because it's the second number, the last digit.
Yeah, 16 would probably be more appropriate, because that's actually two digits. A 6 is just one digit. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Well, if it's a two-digit number, it would be based on the second digit, right?
Is it a two-digit number? I would think it'd be like 06. No, I think it's the last digit of your hand. So, like, for example, if you have a, in this case, you have an 8, a 9, and a 3.
Yeah.
That equals 20, that your hand is worth 0.
Okay.
So it's the second digit or the last digit.
Right, but a 16 would be worth 6.
Yes.
But I guess there's no 16.
What am I talking about? If you had 3 4s.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
So you take, if you have a hand of 3 cards, you add them up, and then whatever the last digit is. If it's a single digit, it's that. If it's a two-digit number, it's the second digit.
Boy, there are gamblers out there just like,
I hate you.
No, they're probably just like, guys, stay out of the casino.
Yeah.
Stick to the shows. So anyway, 8, 9, and 3 equals 20. That is 0 points. That is a very bad hand.
It's a worthless hand.
And the Japanese words for 8, 9, and 3, Yakuza. Yakuza.
Meaning worthless or pointless in the vernacular.
A very roundabout, probably incorrect way of explaining that.
So you've got a group of people who know their way around a sword, mm-hmm. who suddenly are selling pachinko cards.
Or women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or opium, I'll bet.
Oh, sure.
They're very proud of this outsider worthless status.
Yeah.
You know, they're making themselves anti-heroes.
Yeah, us against the world.
Exactly. If you are a cop, though, you're probably going to refer to the Yakuza as the Boryokudan.
Yes.
which is basically is a degenerate gangster who has no sense of values or tradition.
That's right.
And that's a very big insult. You wouldn't want to call a Yakuza member that.
No, unless you, you know, were arresting them.
And even then, you may want to
avoid it.
Yeah.
I saw that name thrown around a lot in the press, though. So
did you?
People aren't shy about it.
I gotcha.
I mean, I'm sure it's like being called a mafia member.
A hood.
Or, yeah.
A thug.
A heavy.
Or, in the U.S., a degenerate gangster who has no sense of tradition or values.
That's right. However, this article, who wrote this? Was this Ed?
Yeah, it was Grabster.
All right, yeah. Figures. He points out that the most direct ancestors come from the 18th century. He called them quasi-legal businessmen.
Mm-hmm.
And they are known as Bakuto and Tekiya.
So Bakuto is a gambler.
Yeah, gamblers, peddlers, not like of the highest repute, I would imagine.
Yeah, the Tekiya is the peddler. Yeah, I don't think they were either, but they were enterprising businessmen who knew how to make a buck, however.
Yes, and eventually they decided, you know, if we organize ourselves into these clans, it might be better for business.
Yeah. And they did. And a lot of the clans still have the names of these Bakutos and Tekiyas today.
Can you name one?
The Yamaguchi-Gumi clan.
They're the biggest one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 80,000 strong?
80,000 members.
It's not bad.
Yeah. And we should also say that that clan, if it has 80,000 members, it's probably assembled in, well, usually Yakuza is assembled in one of two ways. It's a straight-up clan.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's related, everybody knows one another. Or it's a kind of a confederation of clans.
Yeah.
So if you have 80,000 members, it's probably the latter of the two.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So the Yamaguchi-Gumi clan would be the nominal umbrella clan of several other smaller clans that are structured very much like a mafia family with a don at the head. But in this case, it's called a kumicho.
Yep, and it follows that a rough pyramid structure working its way down to... I guess the lowest or the highest man on the totem pole, which would be just the you know, the heavy, the thug.
Sure.
Carrying out the tough assignments.
The guy with the baseball bat.
Yeah, I was about to say they might use something else, but
no,
baseball's
huge,
over there. So
yeah.
They might use two baseball bats, for all I know.
Right. And make them like whirl.
And the only reason you know that is because of Tom Selleck.
No.
No.
No, there's that story about the KFC kernel that they threw in the
right.
River.
Yeah.
In, I think, Osaka.
Wow.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we've got the hierarchy, and the key to this hierarchy is something called the Oyabun-Koban relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that is much like the mafia, but much like any structure where you have seniority, ideally, you have a relationship between the higher-ups and the people directly beneath them.
Right.
And that is the case here with the Oyabun Koban. Well, the Oyabun is the higher-up.
Right. It's like a father-son relationship.
Yeah.
Or a Den Master Cub Scout relationship.
Or mentor...
Protégé.
Right. I was about to say mentee.
What's significant about this is that everywhere within the Yakuza structure, this clan structure, everyone plays both roles, except at the very top and the very bottom.
Yeah.
So you are the Oyabun, the father to the guy below you, or the guys below you. And you're the Koban to the guy immediately ahead of you.
Yeah, like, let me show you how to clean your gun properly.
Right, or your sword.
Do they still use swords?
I imagine there's a couple that still use swords. It's a throwback kind of thing.
They don't use guns that much.
Oh, no?
No, I actually have a stat, because I just got a little curious about gun violence.
Yeah.
6 guns for every 1,000 people in Japan, compared to 890 per 1,000 in the U.S.
No
like,
way.
Yeah. And in 2008, there were only 11 gun deaths in Japan.
Yeah.
Completely. In the U.S., about 12,000 that same year.
I'm surprised it's that low.
12,000?
Yeah.
That's pretty high, if you ask me.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm still surprised it's that low. The thing about Japan is, like, they don't have a lot of crime, especially violent crime.
Yeah.
But when they do, it is gruesome. Like, little elementary school kids cutting the heads off other ones and, like, planting it on the gate outside of the school.
Or wow.
People like
did that happen?
People like on just killing sprees and like bathing in the blood of their victim and all that. Just like the craziest stuff. It's like this very like straight-laced culture that like has very strict rules. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while somebody just pops and like really bad things happen. But it's very infrequent.
Yeah. And I did find out though about 2/3 of the gun deaths, which I guess would only be about 4 people. Oh, no, 2/3 would be what?
Out of how many? 11?
11, like 8-ish?
Yeah, about that.
They come from the Yakuza, which
really
makes sense.
Yeah.
Like most of the gun violence is attributed to them.
But there is a pretty good point in this article later on that they don't really have to use violence or even the threat of violence because a lot of the extortion schemes that they carry out are based on Japanese politeness.
Yeah, I think the implied threat of violence is there, though.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah, okay.
But they'll be like, we want you to, or we strongly feel that you should contribute to this charity. That's not a real charity.
Yeah.
So maybe you should write a check. And then people are like, well, of course, I want to help these.
Throw in this golf tournament this weekend. That'd be really great if you were there at about 9 a.m. to tee off.
Right. And the green fee's $1 million. Sure.
All right, so back to the Oyabun Koban. When they submit their relationship, it is done in a ceremony where a third person, I guess named Spider, pours up some drinks, pours sake, and I believe they drink from their own glass, then they switch and drink from each other's glass.
Yes.
And then the Oyabun is allowed to get hammered, and I guess the Koban isn't.
No, he just sits there and sips.
Yeah, and I guess cleans up after whatever happens with the Oyabun. You know?
That's exactly how they do the – that's how you get a sponsor in AA, but they use coffee instead of sake.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice. I mentioned the Koreans. They are they only make up 0.5% of the population, but I was trying to find a good number. I found 10% of the Yakuza.
That's a pretty big disparity.
Huge disparity, and apparently it's because in Japan, Koreans are looked down upon in many circles and disrespected, and you know, it's racial
bigotry.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
and so they're outsiders, and so they identify, I think, with the Yakuza.
Well, definitely, and then
or
but that further strengthens the Yakuza's sense of being outsiders as well.
Yeah,
it's also. Very good for business to have Koreans in your gang because a lot of smuggling between Korea and Japan goes on.
Yeah.
So
I imagine.
It's practical as well as prideful.
And if you're a woman, don't count on playing ball very much in the Yakuza because you are marginalized and you're not going to be doing a lot of work unless it's as a prostitute
right.
or a servant.
Yep.
Sadly.
Yes.
With one exception.
Should we go to that exception?
Yeah, might as well.
Fukio Tōaka?
Yeah.
Fukio Tōaka, or Fumiko, sorry, Tōaka, was the wife of Kazuo Tōaka. Man, I've been screwing their names up left and right.
No, you were good up until this point.
Fumiko Tōaka. I had it totally wrong. She was the wife of Kazuo Tōaka. And he ran the Yamaguchi-gumi, which is, it's like such an adorable name, but they'll kill you.
I know. It sounds like a little teddy bear or something.
Right. Or like a whole line of teddy bears that are like slightly different from one another, but you have to collect all 800.
Yeah.
And there's trading cards too. He ran that clan from World War II to the 80s.
Not bad run.
And then he died. In translated from the Japanese, that was like perfectly spoken.
I turned into Tarzan for a moment. Not bad run.
So he died of a heart attack in the early 80s, and Fumiko took over and became the first woman Oyoban ever. And she held power for a few months.
That's not very long.
No, but...
Sure.
Like, she was it. The only one. No one had ever done it since, like, the 17th, 18th century.
Yeah.
No, 18th or 19th century to the 80s. No woman had ever taken over, despite Kill Bill.
Yeah.
There was no woman in power at any point except for Fumiko. And even for a few months, it's pretty significant in this
world.
Yeah,
that's true.
As I understand.
Yeah, I wonder, I'll have to look into that, why she was, if she was removed or if she was just like, this ain't for me.
Right. I have no idea why she didn't maintain power. She didn't, but she held the clan together, as I understand, for several months.
That's right. One thing you do not want to do, if you are in this Oyaban-Koban relationship, as the Koban is disappoint Oyaban, because you could take part in the Yubizumi?
I would say Yubizumi.
And that is when you basically screw up. They give you a knife and a bandage and say, you know what to do. Just go do it.
And you do it. You cut above or at the first joint of your pinky finger.
Yeah.
And you take it after you've bandaged it up and stopped screaming.
Yeah.
And you take the finger and you present it to the Oyaban.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm really sorry. Let's just forget this ever happened. Can you please take me to the hospital?
And he's like, yeah.
Right.
Looks good.
And I'll bet if you really wanted to mess with your Oban. Is it Oban?
Yeah. Oyaban.
Oyaban. Yeah, Oban is like old lady, I believe, like grandma.
Don't hand her your pinky.
Right. It would be to just, like, pop it in your mouth and eat the guy's pinky. Wouldn't that just kind of, like, consolidate, like, any fear that the person had?
Yeah, for me it would. Yeah. For sure. And apparently it is a symbolic weakening of your ability to hold a sword.
Yeah.
I say it's not a very smart thing to do to, like, physically, you know, give someone a physical disadvantage that's on your team.
Right.
But I'm not making the rules.
Well, it makes sense. It weakens your ability to hold the sword, but in that sense, it also it makes you more dependent on the other clan members to help protect and defend you.
That's true.
Like, I see your point, but I think it's cool. Like, it's a
pretty,
it's, symbolically, it's very cool, I think.
Yeah, and apparently if you keep messing up, then they will go down more sections of your finger than if you lose all your pinky.
Right.
You're still screwing up. They'll move to your other finger.
Yeah.
And at that point, I guess you should probably rethink your, you know, way of doing things.
It'd be like, do you remember the geeky guy from Greece?
Kaneki?
No. He was like just a peripheral character. He wore glasses and he... Like,
oh, yeah. That guy.
Can you imagine that guy? Yeah. After like 2 months in the Yakuza, he'd have like nothing left. He just runs into walls all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's doing now.
I have no idea.
After playing the nerd in like 8 movies.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, what do the Yakuza do? And I'll go ahead and set you up by saying they kind of do the same thing as the American Mafia.
Again.
Yeah.
And the Italian Mafia and the Bulgarian Mafia and the Russian Mafia. Which I want to say, you remember how, like, the post-Soviet Russia just fell into utter, like, lawlessness and the mob stepped in?
Yeah.
Apparently, the Yakuza went from, like, relative outsiders to, like, political powerhouses at the end of World War II for much the same reason. It was just there were organized crime syndicates in place that were ready to fill the power vacuum that happen
yeah.
after the Japanese government was...
cleaning up the mess?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that happened when the Soviet Union crumbled. But that's how the Yakuza got where they are today.
Opportunists.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In the right place in the right time is another way to put it.
Yeah, that's true. So apart from gambling, prostitution, you got your smuggling,
mm-hmm.
you got your firearms, you got your porno.
Yeah.
You've got the age-old protection fees.
Yep.
Which means pay me and I won't beat you up.
Yeah. It's put way better than that, but that's what it amounts to.
Yeah. They also recently have killed people.
11 of them.
Well, no, killed. They don't get into politics that much, but they in 2007, the mayor of Nagasaki
yeah.
was shot and killed.
Jeez.
By a senior member of the Yamaguchi Gumi clan. And
in what year?
2007.
Wow.
Like murdered in cold blood on the street. And but it wasn't exactly a Yakuza thing. Like he was a senior guy in the Yakuza, so he ain't messing around. But apparently what happened is he was driving his car through a public works site
mm-hmm.
and drove through a hole and like damaged his car and mm-hmm. could never get any restitution from the government. And he got mad and went and killed the mayor.
Jeez.
Yeah. And they think that's what it had stemmed from.
How Pesci-esque.
I know. Yeah, that's very Pesci-esque. Although Pesci would have been smarter because this guy was, you know.
I don't know.
Wrestled to the ground. And
he's a big hothead in Casino.
That's true, but he never got nabbed like that.
No.
But this guy got nabbed, and they tried to make it a Yakuza thing, and they were kind of like, no, not really. He was in the Yakuza. He was just ticked off about his car.
We are in no way affiliated with this act.
Yeah. So I'm sure that they wish they would have fixed his car at that point.
I wonder what kind of car it was. It was just like an Accord.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It was probably not a Chevy or a Ford. That's my guess. Sometimes these guys segue into real work. Legal work, invest in the stock market in semi-legitimate ways.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can do it legitimately. Like you can just take your illegal winnings and invest in the stock market, or you can be like, I think this company could make more money under my personal direction.
Yeah,
buy some stock, get some dirt on some of the board of directors, and
or make it up.
Right.
Yeah.
And then send some of your underlings to a board meeting and be like, oh, we would hate so much for these pictures of you with your mistress to get out. So I think now our boss, the Koban?
Yeah.
Is now
Koyaban.
Koyaban. What is, where's that Y? Why won't I get that Y in there?
I don't know.
Our Koyaban is now the head of the board of directors of this company.
So, in pop culture, Yakuza is huge in the, did I say huge?
Yeah, I think there was an H.
It's weird. It's huge.
That's crazy. You need my missing Y's.
I guess so. That's what happened. Huge on the small and big screen. Like, if you think mafia movies are big here, it ain't nothing like the Yakuza.
Right, and they're very much idealized over there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, even more so than we do the Italian mafia here in our movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I looked up lists of the best ones, and it's sort of, you know, obviously if you're doing opinion lists like that, it's going to range. But one I saw consistently listed as like the best is a 5-part series called Battles Without Honor and Humanity. And I want to check this out. It's supposed to be amazing.
I'm writing it down.
They compared it to the Godfather trilogy.
Nice.
I imagine they mean one and two only, unless... The third one of this one starred the director's daughter, who was a lousy actor.
And Andy Garcia.
But happened to be a great director.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's pretty good.
Andy Garcia I liked, though.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it was weird to see him in that.
Yeah, agreed.
What's another one?
Well, that's the one I had at number one, so I didn't, like, list them all out because everyone had their own opinion.
I'm going to search that one out.
All right.
As far as the West goes, Black Rain, that was a good Yakuza movie.
Okay, I was trying to think of one. My first thought, like an idiot, was Big Trouble in Little China. And then I thought, wait a minute.
That's China.
What's wrong with this picture? And I couldn't think of any Yakuza. Black Rain, of course.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
Unless, if you suspect, as I do, that Mr. Nakatomi was involved in the Yakuza and Die Hard. But that's kind of like a sub-plot.
A side bet, if you will.
Yeah.
I just remember, I don't remember much about Black Rain. I just remember lots of motorcycles.
Yeah. That was pretty much it.
Yep.
And raining. It was raining.
Black. So I guess you already mentioned Kazu Taoka.
I know. It's hard, isn't it?
It is.
He's not even my favorite, though, and neither is Fumiko.
Well, who is then?
Yoshio Kodama.
Okay. And I guess we're just touching on the fact that they do get involved in politics a little bit.
Well, this guy got involved in politics a lot.
Yes.
He was a war criminal. During World War II, he was dealing with China and was imprisoned. And then after the war, the occupying American forces freed him. Because I guess if you were an enemy of the Japanese state, you were an ally to the U.S.
Yes.
And he actually kind of proved to be an ally. He made contacts with the CIA and deals with them and basically consolidated power using the CIA and the occupying military.
Not too bad.
No.
And he had made most of his connections in prison, right?
Yeah, but I think also he had a pretty extensive smuggling network to basically get materials from China to Japan to sell them at grossly inflated prices. And if you have a smuggling network, you have pretty much by proxy an espionage network. So this guy had like his own little intelligence military going under his wing.
Yeah, and like Al Capone, he was finally brought up on like financial charges.
Right.
But died, I think, right before he, before he could stand trial.
Right, but before he died, he had a lot of power and a lot of political influence, and he used it. He was a right-wing nationalist, and apparently, the Yakuza goes through bouts or periods, or certain clans are known to be very nationalistic.
Right,
which is kind of weird because that flies in the face of like Korean membership. But I wonder if some clans like don't have Korean members, the nationalist ones.
Oh yeah, I imagine so.
Which is weird.
So Japan these days, they say their tolerance is pretty low. And in 1992, they passed, remember we talked about the RICO law in the, I guess it was the Mafia podcast. And basically it beefed up a lot of the penalties, for crimes, conducted as Yakuza.
Yeah.
You know, more jail time, that kind of thing.
Well, one of the hallmarks of the RICO Act is the higher ups can be held accountable for the crimes committed by the guys further down the ladder. And apparently Japan has that similar clause or statute.
So I guess the various Oyaban would be responsible for whatever the underlings did.
For whatever the Kobun did.
Yes, very nice. But apparently that act worked in a way and didn't work in a way because some say it caused some of the clans to restructure and move into different areas where they overlapped with other clans for the first time, caused some turf wars, more bloodshed, and so it made it harder for police to, like, you know, get good information because all of a sudden it was kind of thrown into turmoil.
Yeah, and apparently it's had very little effect on their income because I think, like, 2004, the Yakuza as a whole made an estimated, like, $13 billion in revenue.
Wow.
According to Japan Times.
That's a lot of yen.
I think it's a trillion and a half yen.
Wow.
That's more than a fistful.
Very nice. A little Clint Eastwood reference.
That was a Jerry Zucker. Fistful of Yen from Kentucky Fried Movie?
Oh, that's right. Well, which was a Clint Eastwood reference.
Right.
Okay. Clint Eastwood in his invisible Obama chair.
What was that, man?
Yeah. That's, I guess there's really not a lot you can say other than politics is getting pretty surreal here in the U.S.
Yeah, it's performance art.
It is. And I guess we can wrap up with the tattoos that they wear. Very interesting stuff, man. Have you seen this?
I have. They're usually full body,
like
multicolored.
It's sitting here torso, but I saw nakedness, like every square inch covered.
Really, did you?
Or, you know, they showed people from the rear, at least.
Yeah, wearing the diapers.
Well, no, these people...
They were just totally naked?
Bare bottom.
Do you see these guys?
Yeah.
When I was in Japan with Yumi, they have little baths. And one of the rules of the baths is, like, if you have tattoos, you can't come in.
Oh, really?
Because
like
they
any
don't
tattoos?
Want... I was a little worried, but I think they figured that since I was obviously American and I just
tattoos.
Have, like, one, two, maybe...
Yeah.
They were like, I think you're okay.
Two maybe, like you don't know how many tattoos you have.
But the if you have tattoos, they can't ask you to leave.
Yeah.
And the whole reason is they don't want trouble.
Sure.
It's not like the professional wrestling venues where they just know that it's Yakuza owned and controlled.
Yeah, I don't think we mentioned that. That's one of the sectors of legitimate business that Yakuza often get involved in is pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling.
Got anything else on that?
Nope.
All right.
That's Yakuza. Ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be a Yakuza guy.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to learn more about Yakuza and see some of these tattoo photos that Chuck's talking about, and this may be the only article on the site that has a photo of Jet Li.
Is he in there?
Yeah, right there.
What does it say? What's the caption?
Jet Li is Rogue in the film War, which focuses on Asian organized crime.
Interesting.
That is one heck of a caption. If you want to see that caption for yourself, you can type the word Yakuza, Y-A-K-U-Z-A, in the handy search bar at HowStuffWorks.com. And since I said handy search bar, you know what time it is. For reals, it's listener mail.
Josh, I'm going to call this video blog I'm trying to plug, but I don't have the name of it.
Oh, well, that's rough.
But it's from the past, and I like these.
What?
You know, well, I'll explain. Okay. Hey, Stuff You Should Know team. I've tagged along with you through 4 years' worth of SYSK, but have not yet caught up to the most current editions. I'm writing you from the dawn of 2011.
Whoa.
Yep.
Is this just an old email then?
No, it was new. In the past, I have seen the rise and fall of haiku theater.
Yeah.
Appropriately. Celebrated when Josh quit smoking.
Yeah.
Which is, it's been a while now.
Yeah. 2+ years.
I don't even remember Smokey Josh now.
I know, it's nice.
Yeah, it's like a whole different thing.
Now I'm like judgmental at other smokers, Josh. Now.
As it should be. And I've wondered at what the W stands for in Charles W. Chuckers, Chuck Bryant. More recently, Chuck has periodically replaced listener mail with the relatively new Facebook questions, but he points out that, again, he's behind the times a bit. Mm-hmm. It's been around. Yeah. Jerry is as enigmatic as ever, having never actually spoken on air. Not true. And Josh has run a commendable yet ultimately failed campaign at abolishing Handy from the Handy search bar.
Yeah, I just kind of gave into that.
That was a phase.
Yeah.
But perhaps the Josh, Chuck, and Jerry I write to now are quite different. I won't know until I've caught up to the present or future, depending on whether you're reading this from your perspective or mine.
We're different. We're aged.
Yes, we are. My beard has gotten noticeably grayer.
I'm sagging.
I needed to write you now instead of waiting until I've caught up, though, because I've just started a video blog. I need to give credit where credit is due. I feel like I've gotten to know the gang fairly well, somewhat us, over the course of 250 podcasts. It is this kind of relationship that I'm hoping to build with my audience.
250 podcasts?
He's way behind.
He's got 200 to catch up on.
You've been an inspiration for me, and I hope to form the same kind of connection with an audience through my video blog.
Or vlog.
Or vlog. More importantly, I need to thank you guys for all you do, providing something that is real, entertaining, informative, and that has brought me back for all these episodes. So thank you for the inspiration. Your fan from the past, present, and future, Nate Velhoff. And I tried to plug Nate's vlog, but he didn't mention it. So Nate, first rule of thumb is to pass along the name of your vlog when writing people that can get the name up.
This isn't Fight Club.
And I even tried to look it up, and I couldn't find it. So, Nate, if you want to write in, we'll post it on Facebook.
Yes, and we'll even tweet it.
Agreed.
Okay, and speaking of Facebook and Twitter, you can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. You can join us on Twitter. Our handle is the very clumsy SYSK Podcast. All one word.
Yeah.
You'll never find it if you're just searching for us. But it's SYSK Podcast. You can also send us an email to stuffpodcast@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Childproofing people's homes is hard. But Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.